Feel good in here today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of places that you could be today.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of places that maybe even some would like to be. But I promise you, there is no better place than you could be right here in the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's an exciting day to be serving God.
Amen.
It's an exciting day to be in the house of God.
Yes.
I believe that as the old writer of old picked up the pen one day, and he began to write, he said, we're living in the best of times, but we're living in the worst of times.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're living in some bad times. The things in life are unstable, but I'm thankful that we've got a God that we know is sure,
yes,
that we've got a God that we know that's steadfast,
yes,
that we've got a God that is faithful.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm thankful I'm serving a faithful God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be back in Reno, and I appreciate so much your patience, especially Pastor's patience in the last 16 months. And I don't know how much patience he's really had. But trailer is still here. Even though a couple times I received a telephone call and he asked me how much I wanted for it. And there was even one time that I heard that it was going to be posted on Craigslist. From what I gather, it was about, 12 o'clock y'all's time, which would have been about 2 o'clock my time, that it was going to be posted, and it was actually such a low sum that I probably would have received a lot of telephone calls starting about 2 o'clock in the morning my time. But I'm thankful that y'all were patient, y'all are exhibiting the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So, thank you so much. The last 40 hours, I have suffered a great amount of abuse. But I love this man. I would never tell you where that abuse has come from. But I will tell you that Sister Renee and Sister Gwen, wherever they are, that they were the only... Pastor's wife was okay at times. But that's about the only three that has been real nice to me and helped me out the last couple of days. And if you want to know more about that, Pastor will be more than happy to let you in. Amen. For those of you that don't know me, I am from Louisiana. And I'm sorry. I am out of Louisiana. We're in Nevada, and we're ready to have a revival. Amen. You've already been having a revival. There's a spirit of revival that's in this church. There's new people that I see sitting on the pews today or on the chairs today. I'm telling you, you're in revival. I'm just wanting God to let me be a small part of what's taking place around me. I ask God, I've been asking God, help me to tap in and to tag in to what is taking place right here in Sparks. Amen? I want God to do a work. I want God to do a work. I'm not going to be satisfied with just moves of God. I'm not going to be satisfied with just a good series of services. I want God to reach down and give us a harvest. Amen? I want God to give us a harvest. Every service that we walk into, I want God to fill somebody brand new with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning in this house, there's people here that God wants to help you. Now, I've said it before, and you put up with me 3 weeks before saying it nearly every service. I believe that it is the will and the intention of God that every time we walk into the house of God start to leave, that we leave different than the way that we walk in. Amen? I believe that. Let me tell you today, it's not the will of God for you to walk out of this service the same way you walked in. God wants to change some things in all of our lives. Amen? I said, He wants wants to change some things in all of our lives. If you walked into here into this house today without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you're wondering whether it's for you or not, let me just go ahead and put that question at ease. It is for you. The Bible says it's for you, for your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. There's a little bit of preaching here today.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say this morning that normally I never I don't start a revival like I'm feeling led this morning. I try to preach something that's uplifting, something that is faith building to help us gain something in that first service to carry us throughout ever how long we're going to be there. But God has directed me in a different direction this morning. And will you help me preach? Will you help me preach? Amen. I'm going to need your help today. I believe that God is going to reach for somebody in this place, and it is the intention and the will of God that you walk out of this place filled with His Spirit today. I believe that. Amen. Amen. Turning your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, the 8th chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture that I'm sure that we've heard preached from many, many times. Amen. Let me say that the house of the Lord looks beautiful. Y'all done quite a bit of work in the last 14, 15 months. This looks nice. Very nice. And I'm excited about what God's doing. The book of Psalms, the 8th chapter. Let's just begin reading in verse number 1. David said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. I want us to lift our hands and our hearts toward the Lord one more time this morning. And I want us to ask God just to have His perfect way in this place. Gracious God, I'm so thankful today for your presence. I'm so thankful today that we know you, that we're able to call upon the greatest name, the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful, God, for people of God that have gathered into your house today to feel you. People of God that have walked into this house to desiring a change in their life, desiring, God, for you to do something for them and in them and about them. I'm asking today, God, that you melt our hearts and our minds together as one. Bring us into one mind and one accord today, God. Give us ears that we may hear and a heart that we may receive. Help us today, God, and we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
One more time before we're seated, why don't we put our hands together? Let's give Him a good hand. About what is going on down here on earth. Not only is He concerned about the activities and the happenings that has taken place, but I believe that He is concerned about you and I personally. Let me tell you today that that you are important to God.
Yes.
Right.
How is it, preacher, that I am important to God? Out of all the billions of people that live on the face of God's green earth, why is it that you say that I am important to God? I believe that God takes special interest in each and every one of us. He has always been in search for man. That's the reason that He deals with man. Right. That's the reason that the Bible says that He is mindful of man.
Yeah.
It was Job that said in the 33rd chapter of Job and the 4th verse, he said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." You find that in the beginning of time, you find that God said, "Let there be," and it was.
Right.
God spoke into existence all that there is.
Yeah.
He spoke into existence the heavens and the earth,
right,
the light and the darkness,
uh-huh,
the water and the land, the sun and the moon, the stars, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and every living creature that moveth. The Bible says that God spoke it into existence.
Right.
But when it came to mankind, when it came to flesh and blood, when it came to you and I, the Word of God says in Genesis, the 1st chapter and the 26th verse, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Genesis 2 and 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man was different from everything that God had made. Man was not the same as what the beast of the field or the fowl of the air was. God took time with mankind. That the first time that God breathed into man, the Bible says man became a living soul. But the second time that God breathed into mankind, in John, the 21st chapter, the 22nd verse, you find that God breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." What He was saying then is He put something on inside of man. Else that's going to fill the void that you have on inside, except me. There's nothing else that's going to be able to satisfy not your desire for something greater besides me. Let me preach to somebody today. You've gone far and wide. You've gone high and low looking for things to satisfy. But the very thing that you're looking for, the very thing that you're desiring, is what is taking place in this house today. Us life here. The second time God breathed on man, it gave us eternal life. Let me tell us today, God knows everything that there is to know about us. The Word of God tells us that He knows our coming in and our going out. He knows our uprisings and He knows our down settings. He knows our hurts and He knows our pains. He knows our misgivings, our misunderstandings, our faults, and our failures. And let me tell you, with God knowing all of that, He still loves us. He's still concerned about us. He still desires us. He still wants us. To somebody today, it doesn't matter how far that you have been away from God, God still desires to pull you close. It doesn't matter how deep in sin that you're in, God still desires to bring you close. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from God, God still desires to bring you close. It doesn't matter if you know nothing about Him, He still desires to bring you close.
Yes.
thou art mindful of him. You find even after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God drives man from that garden. God was still concerned with man, and he still promised a day of restoration, a day of redemption. You find that some four chapters later, and after God had formed man out of the dust of the earth, in Genesis, the 4th chapter and the 26th verse, God allowed it to be recorded then that then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Can I tell you that there is something that happens to mankind when he begins to call upon the name of the Lord? There's something that happens within each and every one of us when we begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Can I tell you today, you can't remain where you are when you call upon the name of the Lord. You can't continue in tradition when you call upon the name of the Lord. You can't continue in pluralistic religion when you call upon the name of the Lord. You can't continue as you've always been when you call upon the name of the Lord, because there's something that takes place on the inside of that man and that woman. There's something that begins to hunger for something greater than what we have in this life. Can I tell you today, you can search the world over, but nothing will satisfy you like the presence of God. It was there. There's ever been a prayer that we need to take to heart. There's ever been a prayer that we need to pray continually on a daily basis. It's that prayer that David prayed in Psalms 119 and 73. He said, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments." Amen. I tell you today, you may not understand everything that's taken place in the house of God. You may not understand why we sing the way that we do, and why we clap our hands the way that we do, and why we lift our hands the way that we do, and why we respond the way that we do. But let me tell you something. Once you have tasted and seen how great that he is, once you have tasted and seen what marvelous and wonderful things that he can do in your life, you begin to say, "God, if there's more out there for me, I want it. God, if there's something lacking in my life, I desire it. God, if there's something that I don't have, that comes from you, I've got to have it, God, because I'm not satisfied. I'm not content. I want more." Just lift our hands and tell God right now, "God, whatever you've got for me, I want it. God, if there's something that I haven't received yet, I want it. God, I want more of you. I want to learn more about you. I want to learn more about you. I want to learn more about you." I want there to be a hunger within our hearts that drives us to search after God. I want there to be a hunger on the inside of our hearts that drives us to reach for more of God. Let me preach to us today. We have not received everything that God has for us. We have not reached that point that we have obtained. No, God's got greater things for us. I said, God's got greater things for us. Let me go ahead and tell you, this isn't all the ones in Sparks, Reno area that God wants to save. There's others that God wants to save. There's others that he's pulling on our heartstrings. There's others that he's stirring in their life. There's others that he's doing with right now. There's others that may be laying on a bed right now. They may be in a drunken stupor right now. They may be in a high and new spot right now. But let me tell you, God's still doing it.
find somebody on the outside of these four walls that need God. I want you to stand to your feet right now. And this ain't in my notes. I want you to stand to my feet right now. And I want you to lift your hands and begin to pray for them. Come on. Begin to talk to God about them right now. God, help them. God, bring them to you. God, deal with them right now. The prayers of this church right now is sending God to visit them right now. It's sending God to visit them right now. Come on. You've got a lost loved one that needs God. You've got a companion that's lost or without God. You've got a mom and dad or child that's lost or without God. Come on. Your prayers are reaching the throne of glory. But let me tell you, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God, and God is mindful of every prayer that you prayed. God is mindful of every petition that you sent up before Him. God is mindful of that which you have cast out, and you're ready to receive a harvest. God's mindful of it. Concerning, talks to us concerning God's relationship with man. We find that David, in our scripture reading, David began to look around himself. And he began to take notice of the heavens. He began to notice the earth. He began to notice the work of God's fingers. He looked up into the heavens, and he saw the sun and the moon and the stars, and he began to look at them. And when he begins to see the greatness of God in creation and the power of God that totally surrounded him, he looked at himself and he saw the smallness of his stature compared to the greatness of God's creation. Yeah, yeah. And he began to write. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why are you so concerned with man? Why do you visit with man? Why do you allow man to feel your spirit? Why is it that you deal with the heart of man?" There was one thing that David, after having experienced all the wealth and all the riches that David had, and all the maids and handmaids and the men servants that he had, and the cattle and the flocks that he herded, the sheep that he had. Why is it that David began to look at things and he said, "God, I can live without all these things. I can live without all my wealth, and I can live with all without my riches, God." He said, "But there's one thing I never want to try to live without." He said, "Take all that I have, but don't take the Holy Spirit from me." Let me tell you today, the most important thing that you'll ever feel is the presence of God. The most important thing that you'll ever experience is the Spirit of God in your life. The best thing that you'll ever know in your life is God reaching down and dealing with your heart. hours of the morning. That's the reason there's a restlessness on the inside of mankind. That's the reason there's a search in our life for something more and greater than what we have. It's because he don't want us to be lost. David said in Psalms 139, he began to write, he said, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, O Lord, that thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me." He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. He said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Then he summed up that 139th chapter. And he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked thing in me. And lead me in that way everlasting." Why God left the throne room of glory and he came to 450 East Queen Way, Sparks, Nevada today. It's because he's concerned about mankind. And he don't want one of us to be lost. Not one of us. Preacher, I'm a nobody. I don't have a big pedigree that I come from. I don't have a big degree that follows my name. Why is it that God is concerned with me? It's because God don't want you to be lost.
Amen.
He wants you to be lost.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why is God so concerned about me? Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 5 through 13. The Message translation reads this. God didn't put angels in charge of this business of salvation that we're dealing with here. It says in Scripture, "What is man and woman that you bother with them? Why take a second look their way? You made them quite, not quite as high as angels, bright with Eden's dawn light. Then you put them in charge of your entire handcrafted world." Oh, yeah. When God put them in charge of everything, nothing was excluded. But we didn't see it yet. Don't see everything under human jurisdiction. What we do see is Jesus made not quite as high as angels, and then though the experience of death, or through the experience of death, crowned with so much higher than any angel, with a glory and bright with Eden's dawn light. In that death, by God's grace, he fully experienced death in every person's place. It makes good sense that the God who got everything started and keeps everything going now completes the work by making the salvation perfect through suffering as he leads all these people to glory, since the one who saves and those who are saved have a common origin, Jesus doesn't hesitate to treat them as family. In other words, he paid the price. He did all that he's done simply because he didn't want man to be lost.
Right. Oh, hallelujah.
Just lift our hands and talk to God right now.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I worship.
He don't want you to be lost. He don't want you to be lost. He don't want you to be lost.
Thank you, God.
The days of Noah, God saw the wickedness that was upon the face of the earth, and he dealt with a man by the name of Noah. The Bible says that God looked and he saw Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He gave Noah a message. And he told Noah, he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. Destroy it with water. And he said, you need to build me an ark. And he said, it's only those that get on board of the ark that's going to be saved.
Right.
So you find that God gave Noah some plans. You know, when this building was built, there was undoubtedly a set of plans.